To the debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here with, I think he appeared on the very first ever debrief, Dilruk J. Singer.
Hello, Dave O'Neill. Good to be back. Third appearance, third time, I think this is it.
Yes.
And have you had, look at this, I'm a very insecure and needy kind of comedian who wants to know all this information about myself. Now, am I the first third timer?
No, Brad Oakes has been on it.
Oaksy.
And Rosenbarks, maybe?
Oh, come on.
But after them, yeah, that's because they're just doing shit gigs with me. So, you know, the good thing about you haven't worked with me for a while, that means your career has gone well.
So the debrief is almost a sign that you're doing too many bad gigs.
Yes, yeah, you appear on my thing.
Yeah.
Even though recently I've had, like, you know, Mick Molloy and people like that on it, so...
Yeah.
You're doing well.
Mate, thank you so much for having me again. It's always exciting. We just finished our gig at the Grand View Hotel.
You're doing my job. Yeah, I tell you, well, you're good.
Yeah, well,
keep going.
Yeah, because I realize what's happening is you're trying to get us out of the car park. And
yes.
If I felt like I waited for you to throw in the intro, then we might get into an accident.
And we don't want that.
Look, again.
Not when your career's on the rise.
Yeah, maybe I like, if it's sort of that point where I'm really battling to get, like, kind of profile or any kind of interview from anyone. Maybe that's when you say, hey, can you manufacture a crash so that we both go viral or something like that?
Yes. Yeah. Or rob a 7-Eleven or something like that.
Hey, man, leave my cousins out of this. But yeah, we just had
the fun house, your
gig. And I mean this always quite sincerely, even I said at the top of the show tonight, for me it's extra special when I headline gigs like this because...
No, you used to be the triad on this show.
Yeah, the five-minuter. And it was before you kind of really... We kind of got to know each other, I guess, chatting back here. You saw me at one gig.
Well, I knew you as an audience member. I always said, who's that big guy laughing all the time? Like at Spleen and at Carl Chandler's other rooms.
Yeah.
And someone said, oh, he's a comedian, that guy.
I'm a fanboy, come good. In fact, I was still the same because I was going to come... Because next week you've got Kitty Flanagan on.
Yes.
And I really wanted to see her show at the Comedy Festival.
She's amazing,
year.
Yeah.
She's one of the best stand-ups, on top of her skills, and amazing skills as an actress. But her stand-up is just so good. And I couldn't see it, so I was like, oh, fuck, I'll come down. And then I realized I've got tickets to Harry Potter. So.
Oh, you going to that?
Yeah, so I...
Who are you going with?
I'm by myself.
How cool.
Single guy. How cool. Cool is not the word you'd use to be a guy by himself watching a double Harry Potter play.
You'll be like cool. Me when I go to the movies by myself. I remember some school kids after me went, you're Dave O'Neill, aren't you? Are you going to see this movie? I'm like, yeah. And the other guy goes, who are you here with? And I go, you guys.
What was the movie?
I can't even remember. It was so long ago.
Almost the context of which movie it is changed. What type of movie it is changes the context of you chatting to kids.
Oh, yeah, no. It was maybe an action movie.
Yeah.
They're teenagers. But
so how come the kids don't want to go to movies with you?
This is during the day.
Yeah, right.
So they're at school.
Yeah.
And they don't want us to go and see. What did I see last time? On my birthday, I went and saw my... Girlfriend, partner, wife. She was going to come, but she was a bit sick, so I went and saw The Long Shot by myself.
Right, I've never
heard of it. Oh, yeah, no, it's Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
That's quite funny.
All right, awesome. Well, that's the thing. And you're fine with going to movies, by the way.
Yeah, in my 20s, I used to think it was a bit, whatever, but in my 30s and 40s and 50s, I'm like, whatever, who cares?
How are you with eating meals by yourself, you know, like a restaurant?
I think now with, I mean, when comedy, I used to work... In my 20s, as a Red Cross, I was a Red Cross field officer, and I had to go in places like where we do gigs now, Sale and Albury.
Right.
And you'd stay overnight, and you have to have dinner by yourself.
Yeah.
And it was awkward, but now we've got phones.
Oh.
I reckon you just look at your phone.
Yeah.
I don't mind eating dinner by myself, but how do you go?
I love it now. Like, that's the problem. I think I've become too comfortable being single and alone.
Yeah.
Like, I've been doing it for so long, and I really do it well now. So it's like, I have a thing where I'll message my mates going, hey, I'm going to be at this restaurant at this time tonight, if you want to join me, that'd be great. And if they say, hey, how about we go somewhere else? I'm like, no. This is what I'm doing. If you want to come there. And they're like, oh, I've already been to that place. I didn't like it. All right, well, we'll try another time.
Too bad.
That's kind of what's happened to me where I'm really comfortable in my own skin for the first time.
Well, like, I've got three kids too. So even when I get on a plane and I sit there and I'm never in business class and I'm just sitting there and I just go, and people complain about it. I'm just like, you sit there, someone brings you a drink, and you watch a movie. Fuck, it's not that bad. You know what I mean? I quite like it now.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind flying economy. I did fly business the other day, though. I was with Limo. Has Limo been on this?
Yeah, of course, a few times.
So he got me into the fancy lounge.
And then he
requested an upgrade, and I was like, and he in fact even offered to do the upgrade for me. I'm like, no, don't do that. Like, I'll do my own.
And you got an upgrade.
So I got myself an upgrade because it was nice. I thought for a change, why not give it a crack?
Yeah.
And it was good. It was good because also it was just fun to, you know, feel a bit fancy.
Oh, yeah.
But also a chat to Limo on the way there and stuff.
Nothing better than getting on a plane with a comic. It's good fun.
It was good fun.
But, you know, when I used to work on Hughesy, we have a problem. So I would fly up there with him, and sometimes he would get business class.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever. You know, like, good on him. Good on him. Good on you. Doesn't worry me at all. But anyway, so we were up there, and his wife, Holly, was there with him.
Would he ever give you a shout-out to business class or, like, an upgrade?
Probably not. Oh, no, he would if he could. Yeah. So anyway, and his wife's up there, and Denise Scott was on the show.
Yeah.
Me, and he's walking on the plane. He goes, I don't want Holly. You have the business class. You have it. Mm. She's like, well, where are you going to sit? I'll sit in the economy. She goes, no, I don't want it. I don't want it. And he's going, Denise, you have it. You have it. She's like, no, I don't want it. I go, Hughie, I'll have it. He's like, no, not for you. Fucking not for you. So anyway, Denise originally took it,
Yeah.
And we walk in economy, and all these blokes are in the high business. They're going, Hughie, good on you, mate, in the economy. Well done. He's like, yeah, no worries, guys. I'm like, if only they knew. He's normally in business.
Yeah, he's the everyman.
The everyman.
I do. I don't mind. I like, this is what my mentality is at about money and where my, say, for example, career and stuff is at the moment, is that I genuinely believe that all of it's kind of fleeting. You can't catch, like, you can't hang on to it. Because this is a sort of industry that there's no real job security ever.
Yeah, so, but I mean, look at you. You've done quite a bit of TV already.
So thank you. But it doesn't mean that there's guarantees for the future. So,
oh, I know.
So I kind of look at it, there's two ways you can go. Either you go, I better save up in case shit goes bad.
Yeah.
Or the way I look at it is like, well, if things do go bad, like in 10 years from now and I'm broke or whatever, I'd at least like to think of a time where I did get to enjoy myself. I probably should have saved more, but to be honest, I'd be more like, nah, I wish I had a chance to spend
it. But also, someone like you, you're like me and like anyone, you'll always be able to do stand-up.
Yeah, I hope
so. And also, you've got to that level now where you can do probably every crowd, I reckon.
Yeah.
So if I was a promoter, I could send you into a footy club, a corporate gig, a pub, an RSL, and you'd be fine.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you've got enough gears to read the room and go, right,
yeah. Yeah, thank you, man. And that's actually, be fair, that's sort of the type of thing that I picked up from you, because I've noticed how whenever we did like the roadshow gigs or you do a spleen in the city or like a function
vibe
for the Greens or a teachers like union or something.
Yeah.
You almost always just start about the same way, but based on the reaction you're getting, you'll adapt.
Steer it.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
I have the same, almost the same opener that I do that's a visual about my looks and how I look. And depending on how much they laugh at a particular bit, I will go, this is a smart crowd. This is going to be fun.
Exactly.
And I'll continue with something that's a little bit more like, you know, talking about having a Muslim mum or whatever. But with the more basic crowds, you just do more. Well, to be fair, like the Muslim thing is one of the things I'm most proud of, talking about having a Buddhist father and a Muslim mum who sent me to a Catholic school. I like being able to pull that off in footy clubs because their buttholes tend to tighten up a bit. But then, you know, there's enough punchlines and the irony of the joke is that I talk about how I don't want Muslims here. I don't want mum here. So I'm like, stop all the Muslims, including mum, you know, along those vibes. So even though it's being ironic, I sometimes do get a good, strong laugh from Bogans as well. Because they're like, he doesn't love Muslims either. I'm like, no. I'm being ironic. I'm not being serious.
Yeah.
But in Queensland, that bit goes really well. And that's always uncomfortable.
I can imagine.
But yeah, no, I do like the idea that stand-up, we do always have that to fall back on. Not fall back on, but it's that thing of like you're not waiting for a producer to tell you your own or an audition casting agent saying, oh yeah, you've got the
Being an actor. Imagine being an actor.
Man, it's something like, what happens when you don't like, do you just go to acting class or where, how do you, because we can always work on the craft. We can always write new jokes. We can always write on a TV show or something.
They go to I don't know, it'd be hard, I reckon. It'd be really hard.
How are you going in terms of like when you go with acting? How are you with lines and stuff like that?
Oh, no, I'm okay. Because you've just done a series of Utopia.
Yeah, yeah. We just finished the fourth season when I was part of season three.
Three, yeah.
Yeah, so three and four.
I was
and
in the series four... one.
Yeah, you were.
I
you were
one episode. I was the dodgy the, property
the dodgy
developer.
Who wanted to...
The kind of the Clive Palmer.
Yeah, type. That's the best description, isn't it?
Yeah. Like,
and that's the thing. That's why I think we spoke about this almost on my first ep, where I talked about how it was always interesting to work with those guys, given that I was a fan to begin with. So I watched all those eps as a fan.
Yeah, great.
You know? So we finished up with that.
Yeah,
and
they are. This is the working dog people were talking about that did the Late Show, the panel.
Yeah,
Russell Coit and Utopia.
Yeah,
and have you been paying
Frontline
attention? Yeah, Frontline.
Thank God you're here.
So good.
Yeah,
a few shows.
So we did our pilot, your pilot. I've called it our pilot.
Dave Show.
The Dave Show, and you know, that was a fun one as well, because we sort of had your lines, but then afterwards we kind of played around a little bit as well, and that was good. I mean, we did the whole Hughesy impression bit, and the line. This is something I don't know if you knew this.
You snuck in
the Dum Dum Club have a running joke about a thing called
Hughes. Do you know Hughes?
But before that became public,
I read about it.
You knew about it.
Yeah, I saw it in an email.
So I actually snuck in the line, which is do you know Hughesy? And I just said, do you know Hughes? And it made the edit, right?
Yeah, it did. And then people were like, oh my God, the Dum Dum fans. He's stuck in a line.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, this was before you guys got involved. This was just for me and Chandler and Desolate to laugh at.
Yeah. But also, for the sake of the program, that's a sign of someone who, when they mispronounce the name of a comic too.
Yeah,
it's just funny when they go, do you know Hughes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hughes.
Do you know David O'Neill?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah, I get a whole bunch of different ones like...
Oh, Dirk J. Singer. Well, I was thinking when I first had you on at the Grandview, I couldn't say your name.
No, you can barely say it now, but I do... No, I...
Because I know I've had that whole experience with Ivan Aristegueta.
Yeah, it's Ivan Aristegueta.
Ivan Aristegueta. He kept telling me. It's like Rista.
He does emotion. His own joke is it's like Aristegueta.
Yeah, Aristegueta.
Getting Aristegueta.
Aristegueta.
He's a good comic, good friend of mine. And
You're both immigrants. So
yeah, we have
is
to
Is there an immigrant
together.
Club that you hang out with?
Yeah. We actually
There's
funny,
a fat white guy club, that's for sure.
Who's in that, Brad
Oaks? Hughes used to be. Peter Hellyer.
Hellyer is such an interesting one because he's
Hulk.
Not that fat, but somehow he's just got a
He just
fat
looks fat
vibe.
Sometimes. Yeah.
I love Hellyer.
Bulky talky.
Ivan Aristegueta and
Palomaris.
And Sammy. Well, he's not quite white. he's more up kind. He's with the Spaniards and the Venezuelans, you know.
Yes.
But Ivan, myself, and Sammy Shaw were when we were sort of starting out. We had an idea when we were trying to get more profile to do a doco where the three of us go to each of our countries
and
do stand up in those countries.
So that'd be
Pakistan, Venezuela, and Sri Lanka.
That's a great idea.
And it would have been like a thing about us going to like.
You should be able to get that show up now on SBS or ABC.
Yeah, but a good problem is that we're all quite busy though. So that's
a
nice point where Sammy's, you know, hosting Breakfast Radio on ABC. Ivan's touring. Yeah, and
life
you know,
circuit.
So it's a really cool idea, I believe, and maybe someone might steal it listening to Debrief. What was this siren? Do we have a policeman?
There's an ambulance, man.
Have you ever been done for having your headphones in?
No, never been. During the Debrief, I've done a boost bus before. So
oh, really? Who was that comic?
I can't remember, but they just look
Fiona Loughlin.
I can smell alcohol somewhere. It's not me, sir. You'll turn on the TV and see three other immigrant comics doing it.
It's not a bad idea. I mean, it's a pretty cool, because also we think about food and culture. I reckon left here, bro.
Left here,
we talk, go to each place, you know, mum cooks, all of our, like, parents will cook a meal.
Yeah, you go to their home, it'd be awesome.
Maybe school, go check out what the school was like.
You're going to turn on in a month's time, be me and Hughesy and Peter Hellyer doing the same idea.
Yeah, Waterball.
This is my Waterball, Mitchum and Bundura.
Bundura.
What the fuck? This was my idea. But all the meals are the same. So maybe chops and three veg. There's no cultural difference between the three families.
You go to the Wannabe Chinese.
Yeah. No, but it'd be funny.
No, it's. I think it's sort of that point where now when we do roadshow and stuff, there is a lot more culture in terms of food and stuff.
No, Australia's got better in terms of food, but still, you go to some country towns, and you would be the only Sri Lankan person there. Big cities and the big centres are fine.
Yeah.
These days, they get it. We should talk about your weight loss. So you've lost. You were saying on stage, and you were great tonight. I was watching it.
Thanks, man.
And you have a good joke count, which is good.
Oh, okay.
So you bang, bang, bang. Man, right. There was, at one bit, you were just jokes every 10 seconds.
Right. Yeah, I think, thank you, because that is deliberate, because I think my show, left here. Sorry, I forgot to tell you.
Left here, yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, my God. I'm the worst Uber ever.
Yeah. No, because I forgot to tell you. So it's not
You've moved, but I picked you up here so where we do the Newport Bottle.
This is the new joint here, this place.
Oh, my God, you're living there.
Yeah. Why?
Oh, this looks posh, that's all.
But just stop telling people where I live.
Yeah, but you live in a big apartment block, so they're not going to... Yeah. There's so many apartment blocks around here.
Yeah, you have to get through the concierge first.
There's a 24-hour concierge. You got a doorman.
Yeah.
Wow, that's like New York.
Man, it's pretty grand because, like, you know, you get, like, deliveries and stuff, and normally back in the day, they leave a note saying, come and pick it up from the post office. But now I just get a text message saying,
fantastic.
Oh, we've kept a package for you. And
I didn't know you're doing so well.
But like I said, it's a temporary, it's a nice little blip, and I'm enjoying it while it lasts.
If it lasts,
goes on, cool, but if not, hey, at least I had a crack.
You've been strapped to the rocket, mate. You're going. You're hitting places.
I'll appreciate that. But again, you know, I do try and enjoy things while they last. That's one of my big philosophies, if anything, is just to make sure you're not... Like, be grateful for when you have it. So it's like, you look back and go, oh, fuck, I wish. Like, it was funny. Like, Rove told me almost a similar thing, which is...
Really?
Yeah, it was just before the Logies. So we're about to walk into the main thing. And I asked him, you know, what's any advice for me or anything like that. He goes, oh, look, it's a really fun event. Just enjoy the moment because, you know, it's a rare thing to get invited for.
It's true.
This.
And you were nominated and you won a Logie.
And ended up winning, yeah.
It's incredible.
Thank you, man. But it was like the moment
I still can't believe it.
yeah, neither can I, to be honest.
Where is the Logie?
It's just near the TV. I figure that's the best place to keep it.
Yeah,
right,
of course.
Near the telly. It's a funny thing about the
do you ever bring people home and they... I don't know if you bring
people
home,
as in like...
Ladies, what, and you say, that's my Logie.
I mean, I don't
People would
say
think
it.
It's a fake, maybe.
A talking piece? Like,
yeah.
No, I actually, because it's not in the bedroom TV, it's in the lounge room TV. Bedroom seems a little too...
A bit weird.
I don't know. Like, but
it's a weird sex toy you've got over there. That's my Logie.
No, it's... but I think, what Rove said is basically enjoy, take it all in, regardless of what happens, just trying to enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
And I absolutely did that, which is I switched my phone off after I got in and just kind of, I remember everything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Every moment where, like, Bert Newton announced my name. I remember, Hamish and Andy standing up to give me...
That's cool, isn't it?
And then, like, noticing that my laces had broken. So if you actually see me climbing up the stairs, you see me trying to not trip.
Oh, really?
Because my laces all come undone. So
it was a good speech, and you also thanked the Dum Dum Club, didn't you?
I snuck in one of the Hughes references.
Yeah, that's right. You're very loyal, which is good.
Yeah, well, those boys definitely got on board in the Dum Dum campaign. So there was like, I reckon the three big things that got me across the line for the Logies was, I think, first of all, have you been paying attention? And Utopia, really popular.
Yeah, of
that's
course.
That's got a big following, so I think that helped. The Dum Dum Club boys, 100%, they kind of, you know, got all their fans to get.
Yeah,
you know,
they got a lot of fans.
Fans, but also not just fans, but fans who are...
They're rabid.
But
they're dedicated
and invested in the story, you know? So it was not just them voting. They'd be like, oh, get their mates
on. Vote several times.
And the more like they get their mates involved.
Yeah, see, who are you up against?
I was up against the big one was Sam Frost from The Bachelor, who has like 500,000 followers.
Oh,
and I had like 5,000. So I really, I thought I had no chance.
He's...
She,
Sam Frost from the news. Oh no, sorry, I know you mean.
She's on Neighbours now.
So I thought
Home and Away maybe.
Yeah, but people that follow her aren't invested as much.
That's what it turns out. So there was actually a whole.
So what was the third thing that you credit?
Oh, Sri Lankans. I reckon there's such a big Sri Lankan community in Australia.
That's a great point.
And I reckon there's just a whole... Like, for example, I did a few weeks before that a thing for free, like a cultural event called Lunkin Fest. It's an annual sort of food festival.
Look, if there's any Sri Lankan people listening that need Duroc for a community event, be it a fete, a opening of a school, he's there for you guys.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have said free. Hey, yeah. How am I going to pay for the concierge now?
And not just Sri Lankan, Indian. And it also stretched to Pakistani and Bangladesh.
Well, you know what's funny? A couple of years ago, was it last year's show? I think I admitted how my mom's Indian, but I don't talk about it.
Oh, wow.
It's funny. And I was like, it was a real...
It's like saying your mom's New Zealander here, isn't it?
Yeah, but except there's a billion New Zealanders who can probably buy more tickets to shows.
True.
I was saying, man, I need to start branching out to this my brown crowd.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the Sri Lankan, and potentially, yes, you're the
there are a few brown people there tonight.
Yeah, in the audience.
What'd you call her? She was a Fijian Indian.
Indian, and I said Fijindian.
That's funny.
Apparently it's Findian, but I prefer Fijindian.
Fijindian's funny. There's quite a big Fiji Indian community in Melbourne. Yeah, I've met a few of them. Yeah,
I think there's Fiji Indians. There's
Malaysian Indians.
Yes, that's Malaysian a big
Indians.
Community.
Mindians. As we can
is
call
that
them.
What I'm Indians?
No, I just made it up. Malay Indians.
Melindians.
Melindians.
Melindians. There's African Indians as well.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah. It's really fascinating.
Indians are very good at
spreading themselves.
Like the Chinese. It's true.
This is where we get in trouble.
Oh, yeah,
this is the part of the show where we get in trouble.
Okay,
but it's like... Oh, no, it was really good. I think because, that Lunkin Fest that I did, you could see there's like 40,000 fans on their Facebook page, right?
Yeah, fantastic.
And that dude, because I helped him out, he was more than happy to plug the voting.
Yeah, good, so he should.
So if like 1% of that voted, that's, you know.
How was that gig, though? What did you have to...
I mean, I ate a lot. So. Yeah. It was an outdoor festival. It's right along in front of Crown.
Yeah.
And you know what? This is true. It's the first time I felt like, this must be what it's like to be Husey. Every day.
Oh, really?
Because
you're
I went
a massive
there,
celebrity.
Because I didn't know. Like, as obviously, the gigs we do, majority white audiences.
Of course,
you don't really see the Sri Lankan community come out to gigs that often.
No.
But turns out they're all aware of me and they're all like genuinely
watching
about
you on
me.
On the internet too.
Yeah, I think so. I had a guy come into the show at this year's comedy festival. He showed up 50 minutes late, so only 10 minutes to go to the show. and I go, what's going on, bro? Why are you so late? He goes, oh, you know, us Sri Lankans, we're always late. I'm like, man, that's not an excuse to come 50 minutes late. So I asked him, I was like, why did you get late? He goes, my friend, look, to be honest, I hadn't heard about you. I didn't know who you were. My friend bought a ticket for you and told me to come. So I thought I'll just do a bit of research. And I started watching your clips and you were really good. So I kept watching. So he missed my show because he was listening to the online thing.
Anyway, we're listening to the debrief. We'll have a break. We'll be back. Hey, this is Dave O'Neill.
And Glenn Robbins.
And we do a podcast called Somehow Related.
And we talk about two random topics that you wouldn't think were related, but in actual fact, they are.
Yes, it's a great podcast. We love it. We listen to it ourselves.
Come along, join in. Don't bet, don't gamble, but
don't
learn
Google.
Something. And if you go to a dinner party, you've got a perfect way to start a conversation.
So many facts to bore people with on this podcast. Tune in, Somehow Related. We're back. On the debrief with Duroc J. Singh, I'll ask you the questions, Duroc. So what went well tonight and why?
Okay. I reckon what went well was maybe the joke rate, as you talked about.
Yeah, and you know what? You have good energy.
Right.
So your energy is quite, as you say at the start, you're quite vibey, quite positive, which is really good.
Yes.
Especially in a room like the Grandview, which is just a room in a pub that's not built for comedy, and you just come on and, you know, snap it up a bit. It's good.
Yeah, thanks.
I like it.
I think we nearly talked about this before, which is that I was going to tell you about the joke rate thing, which was that, you know, my show this year at the Comedy Festival was 9:45 because I was filming Utopia during the day, and that would finish around 6, 7pm some days.
Yeah.
And so having to get
exhausting.
Up. Exhausting. Yeah, exhausting, right? So I had to do the show at 9:45. Which meant that I knew that the show had to be punchy because people are going to be tired.
Yes.
So
I
wrote the show with an intention of almost like not giving a moment to kind of breathe too much. Like you just go, especially at the top, I just knew I needed to hammer it. And to be honest, some of the jokes are fairly like, I would say not my strongest, but I just needed that resemblance of a joke sometimes.
Yeah, quick
just,
one. Yeah, quick one.
Because
yeah.
at least on the way to the big punchline, there's a few little stopovers that you can enjoy.
Good.
So I think that's maybe that mentality has kind of carried through into my club set. So even though my club set has bits from other shows, I still like that energy of just going bang, bang, bang. So
it's good. If you can do that in a festival show, that's very good.
Yeah,
If you can take that club ethos too, it's good.
Yeah, I mean, to
the thing is, punters go to the comedy festival, they don't know that it's like an hour show and that, you know, you do different sets. Mm. They're very happy to see someone do stand-up well, you know what I mean? They don't want to hear about your father. You know, the classic thing is people talk about their dead dad and then play a bit of music or, they talk about some trauma in their life. They're quite happy just to see people do stand-up.
Right. I mean, and that's the thing. And if that's the sort of stuff that you do, that's fine. I mean, good on you as well. Like, I always go, each their own, right?
Of course.
Like, as long as the laugh's there.
Yeah.
That's my only thing.
Sometimes the laughs aren't there. There's pathos.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, it's the, as Nick Cody calls it, it's not the Melbourne International Feelings Festival.
Yes. It's very good, Nick.
Yeah.
And, so what didn't go well?
Today, I reckon, what was the moment I went, you know what? I started a bit about fitness and hemorrhoids.
Getting hemorrhoids. That was funny, yeah.
Yeah, but I felt like I freaked myself out because I told you I'm going to get off at a certain time.
And then
I looked at my watch and I went, because it was just at the fitness bit, and I talk about having an Apple Watch.
Yeah, that was funny, that stuff.
Thanks, man. But I looked at it and went, oh, fuck this, man. Because I had a particular thing I wanted to close with at the end.
Which
is about a health scare that I had.
Yes.
Which involves a cystoscopy, which is a camera that goes into your, you know, bladder. Which I find goes really well with older crowds.
Oh, I love it.
So, because I feel like...
Health stuff is good.
Exactly. So, they know about all those procedures. Like, remember that gig you and I did in...
Newport. Yeah, which we did at the debrief afterwards. Yeah, they love that routine. Man.
So, yeah. So, I knew I wanted to close on that. And so, when I started the fitness thing and I realized, oh, shit, now I'm going over time, I panicked. A bit, like maybe hopefully I didn't show it.
No.
But I kind of then rushed the material and I was like going too fast.
How funny was it when you asked the guy what he enjoys about his Apple Watch?
Yeah, and he said time.
Time.
I was like, mate.
Has that happened before? Or?
No. You want to hear a nice behind the scenes story about the watch. So the whole point of the routine is that everyone buys the watch for fitness reasons.
Yeah, right.
But don't end up actually using the fitness stuff. It's all the other gadgets in it. Like you get to like,
your emails.
Get your emails. And I don't know why I'm getting choked up about it.
Yeah.
Getting your messages and changing songs and stuff. So that's the whole point is about how it's shit. And I ask people in the crowd, what's your favorite thing? And they never say anything to do with fitness, right?
Yeah.
But this one guy, one night in the final week of the festival goes, so I go, hey, James, what's your favorite thing about the Apple Watch, mate? I think it's all shit and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, actually, Dil, it's, it detected that I was having a heart attack and it warned me and it saved my life.
Whoa.
And I was like, you can't. Like, you fucking ruined the whole bit. But it's true, apparently. It's
got this function. I've heard that before.
So basically, he explained. So then after that, the way the crowd, like, I literally fell on the ground laughing, for starters.
Yeah.
I was lying on the stage because I could not believe what had hauled up dug myself attack. In. So then, you know what? I didn't think to make that joke seem so obvious. And then I just jumped off stage and started doing an interview like a vox pop with
him. Yeah, right.
Because it was too interesting. I was
it's interesting.
And it's so funny. I don't know if you ever, like, when that shit happens for
I've
me.
I've never had a heart attack.
No, but I kind of start editing the rest of the show. I'm actually asking him questions. But in my head, I've gone, okay, now this is going to go over time. Which bit are we going to drop?
Yeah, right.
So I'm talking to him. And, so what happened is apparently because he's sitting, not moving, and all of a sudden, the heart rate started picking up quickly. So because the mere fact that there was no movement but heart rate increase, they were like, alert, 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 this is, you know, might be having a heart attack. And I think it automatically calls 000 or something like that.
Wow.
And he said, I was freaking out, but I didn't want to tell my wife. I was like, why not? Because he's like, oh, she's a nurse and she's been warning me about my weight.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was...
Was he a big guy?
He was a big guy. He was a big guy.
Whoa, bigger than me? Bigger than me?
Look.
Same size.
Nah, he was bigger. I was trying to make a mean joke, but I was like...
That's all right.
Nah. But, it's funny with the Apple Watch. I reckon that it's a lot more...
Oh, good bit. Have you told that story about the heart attack?
Yeah, I totally did. So, since that night, I started telling it in the show.
Oh, it's a good thing to talk about.
It's just nice sort of... You know, and also is that a humbling thing of, you know, you're like a big shot going, oh, the Apple Watch is a shit.
Yeah.
And then someone's going, no, actually, mate, it saved my life, so shut the fuck up.
I love it.
So that's what I reckon went wrong. I think I panicked myself.
Were there any organisational hazards got in the way?
What do you, in terms of the
setup or anything?
Yeah, the MC.
Oh, the MC, me.
No, Well, you know what?
That's pretty good.
Not really. I don't think so. Maybe if anything, the keyboard. I always love getting because if those are listening don't know, Dave has a keyboard on stage, and then he plays a little tune before he brings you on. And it's one of my favorite things about it because
it wasn't working.
It wasn't working when I came on.
Yeah,
so.
Fred the act before you used the lead. Anyway.
Oh god damn it, Fred! That's there you go. That's the only.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And how can we do better next time?
I reckon maybe. I would probably have a better plan for a set list. I think I went up there with a start and an end.
Yeah, good.
And I was going to play around in the middle, but I think I played around too much. Do you feel like they got tired towards the end?
No, not at all. But
really?
I mean, it was before we finished before 10.
Yeah,
so,
right.
But they were an older crowd, so.
Yeah. So
I think if you'd gone 10 more minutes, it would have got tired.
Yeah.
But you're perfect.
I was aiming for 25, and my watch says 34, 47.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the Apple Watch telling me. How many steps have you got on your watch, by the way?
It's on my phone.
Oh, it's on. Mine's 9,843.
Wow. Now mine's about 6,000.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we should do a debrief walk.
Yeah.
We should do a debrief once. After a gig where we walk back to your house or something like that.
Yeah, we should. You're right. I should walk more.
What's he's checking the heart?
6,239.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah, the day before. Oh, that's not good.
You're so confidently 8, going day before and it 3, was like
3,000. Oh my god.
9,000. There you go.
Yeah, I was in the state or something. Oh, yeah, man. Look, you know. Anyway,
we've got 10,000.
10,000.
Hey, thanks so much for having me back.
Thanks for coming on again,
always happy to do it. And thank you all for having me on the gig as well.
Oh, you're great. And look, next time when I talk to you, you probably would have had your own movie or something. So you never know.
Yeah, that's definitely sounds about right.
Yeah,
when are you getting Eric Banner on?
Yeah, no, I don't know. Well,
I will. Can I ever told this to the audience before that my first time ever seeing you was when you came to the Comics Lounge workshop when I was a newbie.
Yeah.
And you said, "Oh, I've got some very, you know, good advice. Six things that you got to think about." But before I tell any of it, just remember that I was the guy that almost talked Eric Banner out of not doing Chopper
the movie.
So if you really want my advice, think about that.
Well, no, he did tweet me the other day because I put up a photo during the festival, and I said, check out the lineup tonight. It was Glenn Robbins, Marty Sheargold, Brad Oakes, and me, and Eric just texted, what year is this? is this 96?
All right, Hulk. All right, mate.
And then he found a bit of his diary from 97 and said, and it had a gig with me. He said, I think it's 97. So,
oh, wow. He actually
he was engaging. So I got to ring him up. He lives, you know, he lives in Melbourne, but I just haven't.
Does he live in Melbourne?
Yeah.
He's in
Melbourne.
LA.
No, he's got kids. He's got older kids. So they're like, they must be uni by now.
Mate, get him on Fitbit.
Yeah, I'll tell him, but I, you know.
Imagine getting him.
I got to ring him, actually.
On Fibby, you should get him on the debrief.
When St Kilda were going really well, I was going to ring him because he loves the Saints. It's his passion, but then they're not going that well now.
Do you remember that movie that he snuck in the Saints into?
Yeah, Funny People.
Funny People, yeah.
On TV the other night. Oh, he's great in that. Oh, Eric's very funny. He's one of the funniest. You Google his sketch stuff, it's very, very funny.
Mate, he's an incredible talent. That, right. You know,
he was a stand-up like us, so, you know.
My the guy that used to help me train running like 10 years ago or whatever, like when I was doing a triathlon, and I told him I've quit accounting, I'm going to get into stand-up. He just sent me an email, good on you, mate. Like, he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Good on you, Dill. Just to let you know, there's a bloke back in my pub that I used to own that used to busk and pick up glasses. His name was Eric Banner. He started doing stand-up, and he's all right these days. Like, so he's like a motivational thing.
So he used to own the Castle Hotel, probably, didn't he?
Oh, maybe. Yeah,
North Melbourne.
Wow.
That was it.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Durek.
Thank
and of course,
so
you can follow Durek on social media. Instagram.
Yeah, check out if we have any podcast listeners.
Of course, the
Fitbit. Check out Fitbit Pod with
me
and Ben Lomas. Have you had Lomas on here?
Yeah, no.
No, right. He probably rides around everywhere.
You've been there. Yeah,
you've been
good.
On it. We talked about the dad cupboard, I think. Cupboard snacking?
Yeah, cupboards. Yeah. Secret eating.
Secret eating. And it's a show, but it's a podcast that me and Ben Lomas started because we were both 120 kilos and we had a bet for the first one of us to get under 100 kilos.
So what do you weigh now?
Now I'm 92.
Wow.
Yeah, so I started at 123. I got down to 88, but then the festival I chucked a bit.
Yeah, can happen.
But I am running a half marathon for Run Melbourne. I'm an ambassador for Run Melbourne.
Okay, I got to go now. I was heckling Durek tonight.
When
you said I've lost 35 kilos, I yelled, "Get fucked."
But otherwise, I'm on Instagram and Twitter on Dilruk J, so that's where all the.
Coming up on a Weight Watchers ad very soon. He's replaced Kenny. He's replaced Magda. So.
Oh, man, I will take the money 100%.
So
if you're listening, Weight Watchers, I'm yours.
I'm still fat though. Anyway, light and easy.
See you, Dave.
Thanks.